This morning for our text, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're going to depart from our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. We will get back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This will be just our starting text this morning. Verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This morning I'd like to give a brief message on, I guess, better not say brief, you never know how long it's going to be. That would be lying, wouldn't it? The miracles, realities, and evidences of salvation. The miracles, realities, and evidences of salvation. I was just reading about a preacher. We have some books of his in our bookstore by the name of Dave Sorensen. In fact, right now, I think the month of July, he's retiring from his pastorate. He's going to be out on evangelistic and Bible conference circuit. Dave Sorensen was, I don't know, the fifth generation in the family of the fifth generation of preachers in his family. And he went to church because, as a young person, because his dad was the preacher. He went to church because that's what was expected of him. I understand that at 5 years old, he prayed some kind of prayer, and he was told that he was saved. But he didn't like going to church. He actually hated it. But he ended up going to Bible college, and at the age of 20, he got converted. Now he loved the Bible. Now he loved going to church. Now he loved the things of God. You know, there's a great difference between professing salvation and possessing it. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about what salvation is. And we want to go back to our text, and we're going to, our text we read this morning. And among other things, we're going to look at some of these great miracles and realities of salvation. In Matthew chapter 18, very interesting verse. It says, verily I say unto you, now these are the words of Jesus, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye shall not. Reminds me of some other places, Luke 13. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Those were the words of Jesus. Then he quoted John chapter 3. Jesus said, except, it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Those were the words of Jesus. Now in this place, he talks about a miracle that takes place when a person is saved. There is a conversion that takes place. Except ye be converted and become as little children. Didn't say become little children, but it says become as little children. Now, what's the difference between children and adults? Well, sometimes it's hard to tell. But what does he mean? Become as a little child. Well, you know, adults can be really independent. They can really be stuck on doing what they want to do. But you know, a little child is very dependent. Sometimes I ask teenagers, I say, huh, how much of the rent do you pay? How much of the mortgage insurance do you pay? How much of the electric bill do you pay? How much of the grocery bill do you pay? How much of the car insurance do you pay? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, teenagers think they're really independent. But the fact is, they are totally dependent. They're dependent upon their parents for house, for food, for all these things. And yet they think they're independent. You know, a little child is really dependent, isn't he? The Bible says there's a conversion has to take place in a person's life. And that conversion results in becoming like a little child. Wonder, have you been converted? I didn't say, did you pray a prayer? I didn't say, did you make a profession? The Bible says salvation is a conversion. You know, the word conversion is really two Latin words. It means to change the way you're going. You used to be going this way, but now you're going this way. A change of direction. And that change of direction is a conversion. And it's conversion from being independent, self-sufficient. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. A conversion is becoming, as a little child, dependent. Moldable. Easily influenced. I wonder, does that stop the moment you get saved? Or is this talking about a change of direction of a life? Or a momentary thing? No, this is a conversion. Change of direction in life. It says, except you be converted. Change of direction. That's what Jesus said. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 7, we'll see what else Jesus said. But while you're there, let's go look at that verse in Luke chapter 13. Verse 5. Luke 13:5. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent. What is repentance? I think that as we look at Matthew, we'll see that one of the realities of salvation is not only is there a change of direction and a conversion, but in salvation and repentance, there is a change of authority. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21. Now notice, if you have a red letter Bible, this is spoken by Jesus, and he knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything about everyone and everything. What does it say? You looking? Young people, are you looking at the Bible? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice the issue. They said, Lord, Lord. But they didn't do what he said. Notice that's called a lie. Right? If you say, Lord, but you don't obey, well, that's a lie. You know, you get hired on for a company, and they say, now, do you want to, I'm the boss, and you're going to follow the rules, right? Okay. So they get to work, and the boss says, do this. And they say, no, I don't want to do that. Wait a minute. You said that I was going to be the boss, and you were going to be the worker. Well, you know, the word Lord has a meaning to it. It's not merely a title. It's reality. Turn to Romans chapter 10. In verse 9. We use this as a common verse in the Romans road. What does the Bible say? Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus? Well, pretty simple. It means to confess that Jesus is the Lord. That's what it means. Confess that Jesus is the Lord. You see, salvation is about a change of authority. It's about change of authority. Let's go back to Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Repentance. My own way? No. His way. I am the Lord? No. Jesus is the Lord. Authority. I was interesting, read this statement by David Cloud. He said, one of the clearest evidences of salvation in a child is their change in attitude about authority. One of the clearest evidences of salvation in a child is their change in attitude about authority. And especially, obviously, their parents. And other authority. Notice what Jesus said. All these people, religious people, are saying, Lord, Lord, but they're not doing what he said. You see, salvation is a conversion. It's a birth. It's a miracle that takes place in the heart. It's what God does. There's a change of attitude about authority. Change in attitude about authority. Now you think of Matthew 7. These people, they used the name Lord, Lord, but they had no sense that Lord meant Lord. They had a wrong attitude about authority, didn't they? You see, you can be very religious and not be saved. Conversion is about a change of direction. Number two, conversion is about a change in attitude about authority. Number three, conversion is about a change of heart about righteousness. 1 John chapter 3. Little children. Now, you know the word little children in 1 John is the word techna. It means little born ones. It's talking about people who have been born again. They're called the born ones. Verse 2, it says, behold, now are we the sons of God. The word is not we us. It is the word technon, born ones. We have been born into the family of God. We got a new set of genetics. A new set of genetics. It says in verse 7, little children, my little born ones, let no man deceive you. Now, you need to know the context of 1 John. 1 John was written in the context of false teachers. In 1 John, they talk about the many antichrists. In 1 John, it talks about those who went out from us because they were not of us, talking about the doctrine of the deity of Christ. And they'd not, the Gnostics not believe in the fact that Jesus was the God-man. And he says they went out of it from us because they were not of us. They were not born. They were not born ones. And now he says, now don't get deceived by these false teachers. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Of birth, genetics. What's it saying? It says that conversion is a change of heart about righteousness. Isn't that great? Jesus, the Hebrews tells us, I will put my law into their hearts. That's what it says. You know what that means? That means when you get saved, you have a desire and a love for righteousness. You know, before you get saved, it's, oh, do I have to do that? Oh, what's wrong with that? I remember one time, we lived in a very unique neighborhood when I was growing up in the city of Delafield. Kitty corner to our house, right across the street was a Lutheran church. Right across the street from our house was the Lutheran pastor. Kitty, right behind the Lutheran church, one house behind the parking lot, was our Presbyterian pastor. And two houses up the block was our Presbyterian church. We're in a pretty religious neighborhood. And the ladies in the church, we had about five or six ladies in that neighborhood. And they would get together for a ladies', I don't know, coffee or whatever once in a while. And I never forget the time my mom came back from one of these little coffees. And the Lutheran pastor's wife was there. And she said, you know, it seems like almost everything today, it's wrong or it's bad for your health. My mom was, she was kind of shocked by that statement. Yeah, it seems like everything, either it's wrong or it's bad for you. Did that sound like a person who loved righteousness? Who, like the psalmist said, delighted in the law of God? I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, I remember when I first got saved, I was in Campus Crusade for Christ. And I got close to some of the staff members of Campus Crusade. And one day I heard them talking. And they said, yeah, you know, that person, some people that were supporting them financially, that person, they don't like that. And you know, and they don't like that. And, you know, and that is just, I don't know what they said. Fooey. And I thought, why are they making fun of people who love righteousness? There's something wrong here. They're making fun of people who love to do right. I said, is there something wrong with this organization? I don't know what it is, but I know that's not right. Because when you get saved, you love to do what is right. You're not perfect, but there's a desire to do what's right. You know what? It's a conversion. It's real. You can't make this old sinful heart want to do right. You ever try to make a child do right? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. They decide they want to eat their beans. What are you going to do? Nowadays, now all they got to do is call 911 and the police come pick you up. You know, we're born sinners. We love sin. We love to do what we want to do. You know, that's what a sinner is. I found out this for myself. There's some sins that we hate. And there's some sins we like. And some of the sins that we like, somebody else hates. And some of the sins that we hate, people like. You know, but we're sinners. We like sin. And you know what? When you get saved, you like righteousness. It's a miracle. That's why Jesus called it a new birth. And this is what Jesus said. These people are here, they're saying that they're saved, but they don't love righteousness. Don't be deceived by that. Don't be deceived by that. Because He, the Bible says, our God that made us His children and we're born into His family is a righteous God. And when He get that new genetics, it's a desire for righteousness. And you know, before you get saved, it's only a have to. It's a have to. Mom makes me do it. Dad makes me do it. Public opinion. Public opinion. I don't want to look bad in my teacher's eyes. There used to be community awareness. When I would go to the store, my mom would say, it was only a block away. He says, now, she'd give me the list and she'd send me to the store and she says, now you be good. Don't you bring the Roberts name in the mud. You be good. I don't know what I was going to do for that one block, but, you know, but that was pride of life. You know, just keep your family name. That had anything to do with being born again. No, I want to do right because I want to glorify the name of the Lord. I want to do right because the Lord is right. And the Lord loves righteousness. You know what that's called? That's called the new birth. You know, one of the greatest changes that comes with conversion has to do with the Bible. Let's go, first of all, to John chapter 10. Verse 26, it says, but you believe not, speaking to the Jewish leaders. John 10:26, if you're there, hopefully you are. But you believe not, why? Because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. But verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. What does it say about becoming God's sheep? God's sheep hear the voice of God. Not talking about a literal voice, but we're talking about the voice of truth of the Word of God. You know, when you get saved, what's it saying? You know that the Bible is true. You know that it's the Word of God. I remember being in grade school. And I can still see the picture. The evolutionary picture. You know? You got the little monkeys. And then you go to the chimpanzees. And then you go to the chimpanzee man. And then you get to the man. You know? You got all the charts. Well, I believed it. I mean, it was on a piece of paper, and it was in this textbook. It must have been true. You know? And, you know, the pictures, they can't lie. They must have taken those pictures a couple million years ago and put them right in the book. And they preserved them, and now it's the truth. Well, I believe that. I took that hook, line, and sinker. It's right in a book. Must be true. Well, you know what? I got saved October 31st, 1968. And I read in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I read Matthew 19. Jesus said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. I said, that's the truth. No question about it. Because it's the Bible. And I know the Bible is true. How did I know the Bible was true? You know, before that, I didn't really know if the Bible was true. But after I got saved, I knew it was true. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You know, this is kind of related to this conversion thing. Change of authority. You know, we got some strange Christianity today. I think Jesus must have known about it because he had it in his day too when he said, they call me Lord, Lord, and they don't do the things I say. But you know, change of authority. You know, when you get saved, the Bible becomes your authority in life. Now, I realize that we have a problem today because there's a lot of people don't study the Bible. They don't know the Bible. They're in ignorance. All they want is a nice feely-feely kind of Christianity. They don't care what the Bible says. And the devil loves that. But you know, the psalmist said, oh, how I love thy law. And you know, when you get saved, you meet God in His Word, don't you? When you get saved, you read the Bible, and God's Holy Spirit takes that truth and it changes your thinking, changes your life. And even if you don't like what it says, you know it's the truth. When you get saved, there is a change of understanding. I remember before I was saved reading the Bible. I remember memorizing the Bible after I was saved. First Bible verse I ever memorized. It's crazy. But it was. First Bible verse I ever memorized, I think, was in 1 Corinthians, where it says, do all things unto edifying. First verse I ever memorized. I don't know why, but it was. And that word edify means do all things to build up your faith in Christ. Memorize that verse. One day I was listening to my radio station. I just had turned off the Christian station. And I turned on to my station. And the Holy Spirit said, remember that verse? Do all things unto edifying. You know, that station, that Bible study and that station, you were listening, that was helping you grow, wasn't it? And you know, this isn't doing anything for you spiritually, is it? Nope. You know what, Lord? I think that's the station I'm going to listen to, and I'm not going to listen to this one anymore. You know what? When you get saved, the Bible is God's Word. There's a complete change of attitude about the Bible, and there's an illumination of the Spirit of God that the Bible is the Word of God. Except you be converted. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now you say, Pastor, you're saying the same thing over and over. Well, yeah, because except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That new birth is real. It's the beginning. It's a change of attitudes that never go away. They can be affected negatively, but they never go away. That's eternal life. Now, it's interesting. The Bible says that the reality of salvation is that always continues. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 22 and 23, it says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith. My pastor, you're teaching that you can lose your salvation? Nope. Not at all. You can't lose your salvation. You have eternal life if you're saved. But you know what? If you have eternal life, you cannot turn your back on it. You cannot turn your back on it. You cannot say, someday I believe in Jesus Christ, and then someday later say, oh, I don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore. Read the book of Hebrews. If a person can say, I don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore, I don't believe that stuff anymore, they never were born again. I remember early in my Christian life, some people that were very close to me said, Ron, why don't you just give this up? I said, how can I? That's impossible. I can't be unborn again. I can't be unborn again. Christ is living in my heart. I can't get him, toss him out. I got eternal life. I can't stop it. It's eternal. It's real. You say, you know, we really need to go back to the Bible. Go back to what the Bible says. You know, so many people are saying, well, I like that person. I like that person. You know, David Cloud tells a story about he was in a Southern Baptist church and he made a profession of faith, but he wasn't saved. Then he got to Vietnam and got into the Vietnam scene, came back to America, he was on drugs, he was on, rock music and everything else. Big hippie movement. Wasn't saved. That's his problem. And he got saved. Got converted. And he said he had a friend just like him. Went to the same church. Said he was saved. Lived the same exact lifestyle as David Cloud and died in that lifestyle. Rejected Jesus Christ. Didn't want anything to do with him. Went to the funeral. Mom and Dad said, oh, he was saved. You know, there's a lot of that kind of foolish talk goes on. A lot of that kind of foolish talk. You know, Hebrews says, another reality, 12, that this relationship with God is real. It's a real relationship. It says, verse 5, and have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, ye are bastards, are illegitimate children, and not sons. Now notice what it says. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father chasteneth not? You know, this is one of the realities of salvation. You know what it is? Chastening. What does the Bible say? If you belong to God and you won't listen to Him, He will chasten you. The word chasten means discipline. He will correct you. If you won't correct yourself, he'll have to bring something in your life to correct you. Now let me ask you a question. If you're a good parent, when do you chasten your children? When do you let them chase? When do you chasten your children? Now, this goes not... It's amazing. Some people do it right when the kids are little, but when the kids are old, they don't do it right anymore. It's amazing. Some people, they expect their little children to obey, and if they don't obey, they'll chasten them. But when their kids get to be teenagers, they let them do it. Huh. Must not be their children anymore. It's amazing. But thank God, God's not like that. I tell you what, you can be an old man like me. And God's still going to chasten me. And he still does. And you know what? It shows how close you are to the Lord, how quickly he does it. How quickly he does it. And God will bring something into a person's life that is bigger than them. And they can't escape it. It's real. But you know what? It seems to me we got a newfangled Christianity that people just live any way they want and everything's fine. Now, if you read that passage over, the Bible says, then it's not fine. Remember John Getch? He was preaching at a church in Las Vegas. And pastor said, John, I want you to go visit this fellow. He used to be a deacon in the church. But one day he just left the church. And now he owns this casino, and it has some illegitimate business with that. Of course, it's legitimate in Las Vegas, you know what I mean. But it's, you know, bad. Drinking and immorality, gambling. He owns his business. Let's go visit him. And so they go to visit him. John Getz says, you know, whatever his name is. Hi, Ray, how you doing? And I'm John Getz. I'm a preacher here at the church. And says, how's it going for you? And the guy says, it's going great. It's going great. John Getz says, if it's going great, then you're not saved. Because God says that he chastises every son that he receives. Now, John Getch could say that. You know why John Getch could say that? Because John Getch, as a teenager, decided that he was going to live for sports. He was a top football player. He was a top basketball player. He was the best. And one day, he ended up in the hospital with a heart condition. And the doctor says, you'll not play another day of sports in your whole life. Dr. Seelholm came to visit John and said, John, you know why you're in the hospital? Because you're not right with God. John Getz got mad. But you know what? John Getz repented of his sin because he said, yes, God is chastising me because I have been rebellious. I have refused God's will on my life. God's called me to preach and I wanted to play. John Getz could tell it to that guy. I know all about the chastening of God. Now, there's many people who've done the same thing. Nothing's happened. Fine. No problem. Go on with life. Bible says no. He loves us. He's not going to let us go. You know, my heart grieves. My heart broken. It's stirred when my children do something that I don't think is right. You know, I just can't. How much more God? Right? He's the perfect Father. He's the perfect Father. the realities of salvation. Last one here. We'll try to be in this very Galatians 4, 6. Seven's the perfect number. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That means, God's my Father. I belong to Him. I know Him. I know Him. You know, a lot of people just know about God. They don't know Him. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing Him personally. You know, when you know God, you say, you know, God doesn't like that. When you know God, you say, you know, that doesn't please God. When you know God, you say, you know, that's how God works. That's what God's like. I know Him. You know, there's a big difference between knowing about Him and knowing Him personally. Knowing the Lord. I see that as a missing thing in Christianity. You know what's missing in a lot of Christianity? God. Yeah, God. Well, that's what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I feel like. No, wait a minute. What does God say? What about God? Oh, really? No, it's about me. No, God. You know, you think about it, isn't it a miracle that God can change a sinner into a new creature? You know, unsaved people, they say, oh, I can never live that way. Exactly. You got to be born again. Exactly, you got to be born again. You can't live that way. Your sinful nature hates that way. It hates obeying. It hates the Ten Commandments even. It hates them. It's just like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Tell a person who loves to spend money that they can't spend money. Do you ever meet that kind of person? They get satisfaction by spending money. They go to Walmart, they spend money, oh, I feel good. It doesn't matter, they owe $100 million, you know, that they can't pay back. But man, they feel good when they spend money. And tell them, you can't spend money. Oh man, you're going to drive them crazy. Put them on a budget, you're going to drive them crazy. Because that's not who they are. You can't live a Christian life if you're not a Christian. You will have a psychological attack on the inside. Well, you're born again. You'll be like David. Even in your imperfection, you'll say, I want to live for God. I want to grow. I want to do right. I don't like living in defeat. I want to grow. I want to please the Lord. You know, all these things that I've spoken of today, they're not only a miracle and a reality of salvation, they're also a mark of fellowship with God. When you are walking with God, you have the right authority. You have the right view of authority. You have the right direction in life. You have the right heart about righteousness. The Bible is the Bible. And you listen to it and you obey it. if you're having fellowship with God. These are realities. But if you're not in fellowship with God, then guess what? All of these things are wavering. All of these things are being affected. They can't be taken away, but they can be affected. The Bible says in 1 John, it says very simply, in 1st chapter, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write these things that your joy may be full. Then this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We're lying to ourselves. We have fellowship with God. And these areas, these vital areas of new birth are being negatively affected. Don't kid yourself. You're not right with God. You're not walking with God. You're not filled with the Spirit. You're out of the will of God. You're out of fellowship with God. And what do you need to do? Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And these realities come back to full blossom in our life. So I want to ask the question. Has there been a day of conversion? I didn't say day you prayed a little prayer. Day of conversion. Where your heart got operated on by God. Except you be converted. Secondly, have you been around the wrong kind of people? Have you been around the wrong kind of people that aren't right with God? And as a result, they've been affecting you as a Christian. Bible says, be not deceived. Don't think you're above it. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If that's so, you need to change some things in your life. You need to change the friends you're around, the things that you're doing. Because evil communications do corrupt good manners. And if you don't, be sure that you know that God will deal with you. He will. But you know, if you're saved, you've been converted and you hear these things that I'm saying, this isn't a matter of perfection because none of us are even close to that. But you know, when you're saved and you hear these things, you know what happens? Your heart says, I want to be more righteous. Your heart says, I want to love the Bible more. Your heart says, I want to have the right attitude about authority. Your heart says, I want to have a better love for righteousness. You're not perfect. But if you're converted, when you hear these things, you say, yeah, I want more of that in my life. Because you've been born again. These are miraculous realities. You know, these are things that God does.
These are things the Holy Spirit does. Now, you know, you might be here today, and you might not feel very saved. That doesn't mean you're not saved. I mean, go by what the Bible says first. But you know, if you got sin in your life, don't think that you're going to feel very saved. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, and you want to go by feelings, you aren't going to feel very saved. Sin breaks fellowship with God. And when we have unconfessed sin in our life, it shows. It shows. It shows. And you know, if you have a child, a young person, they don't love righteousness like they used to. They don't love being in church like they used to. They don't love reading their Bible like they used to. They don't have right attitude about authority like they used to. It's pretty simple. They got unconfessed sin in their life. You can't have fellowship with God with unconfessed sin in your life. They don't need to get saved. They need to get right. The miracle of salvation. It's real. It's wonderful. It's a miracle. I can't believe what a great miracle it is. The greatest miracle in all the world. You know, walking across Phantom Lake is a miracle, but that's nothing compared to the miracle of salvation. Changing somebody's heart from loving sin to loving God. I tell you what, that's a lot bigger miracle than walking across Phantom Lake. And the Bible says, but as many as received Him, that is Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Lord, the Son of God, received Him as their Lord, their God, their Savior, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It's real. It's wonderful. If you're saved today, just rejoice in it. Rejoice in the miracle. If you're not saved, if you haven't been converted, I feel really bad for you. I really feel for you. Trying to be something that you're not. You can never be that what you're not. You have to be converted. It's got to be terribly frustrating to try to pretend you love God and you love the Bible and you love Christianity when you don't. Because an unconverted person can't be what they aren't. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to Jesus Christ today. Surrender your life to Him. Turn from going your own way. See the terrible predicament you are in. And let Him give you a new life. One from heaven. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for what the Bible says. And Lord, thank You for the joy that we have in our hearts when we know that's what You did, Lord. Lord, You did it. You converted me. Lord, what a wonderful thing that we could be saved. What a wonderful thing it is. Now, Lord, there's someone here today that's been converted, but they lost the joy of their salvation. It's because of sin in their life. They've let sin come in. And they lost that wonderful joy. And they're starting to act like the world. Lord, I pray you'd work in their hearts. They would turn from that sin. Confess it. And have that, their fellowship with God restored. And Lord, I pray for that special soul. Somehow they never really have understood it. They never put it together. They're just trying to do what somebody else wanted them to do. Somehow they just were trying to conform. But there wasn't a real work of the Spirit of God in their heart of repentance, of turning from sin, seeing their need of Savior and wanting Jesus to be who He wants to be. Oh Lord, help that special person to overcome the pride that the devil would put there, the pride that would keep them from dealing with this and really getting saved. Oh, give them grace, Lord. Help them to see that it's an embarrassing thing. It's only an embarrassing thing to go to hell when they could have been saved. You're here today and you say, you know, I'm a Christian. I know I've been born again. But you know, my heart isn't what it used to be. My heart isn't what it used to be. There's sin in my life that I've let come into my life. And it's changing me. I have the wrong friends, go to the wrong places, do the wrong things. So you know what? God spoke in my heart today. I'm saved, but I've let sin in my life. I'm not very close to God right now. Say, Pastor, pray for me.